We're continuing in our series of Sunday school lessons about experiencing new life in Christ. We've had four of them so far. You remember our theme is, you know, we don't get to do many things over in life, but in Christ, we get a new life in Him when we get saved. And so the four lessons we've had so far is a problem you can't solve. And you remember that lesson was about sin. The problem that we can't solve in our own life by ourselves is sin. It comes from that Greek word, harm, atarp, which means simply to miss the mark. To miss the mark. The mark we miss is God's righteousness as defined in the Gospels. And the embodiment of that righteousness is Jesus Christ. You want to know what the righteousness of God looks like? Look at Jesus. He never missed the mark. And when we compare ourselves to Him, we easily and readily see that we have missed the mark, that we don't measure up to the standard that He set. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the glory of God is Jesus Christ and the way that He lived His life while here on this earth. So, because we missed the mark, we're sinners. We're subject to God's judgment. That judgment is meted out, not arbitrarily, but according to our works, according to our deeds. And remember in that lesson, the author made the point, even if we think we're righteous, we're not. Because all of our righteousnesses in God's sight are as filthy rags. So a problem we can't solve by ourselves. The second lesson was the gift you can't give yourself. And that gift is a right relationship with God. That right relationship, as that lesson pointed out, does not come by keeping the law or by keeping the rules. The Bible says, not of works, in the book of Ephesians, not of works, lest any man should boast. The law was not given so that we could keep it and get right with God. The law was given so that we would know how much of a sinner we are. It points out what's wrong. It points out that if we do these things, we're breaking the commandments of God. And so it wasn't given for us to keep it to be made right with God. It was given so that we know what sin is. We were reminded in that lesson that the right relationship with God is possible only through Jesus Christ. He's the way, He's the truth, He's the life. No man cometh to the Father but by Him. No man has a right relationship with God except through Jesus Christ. And that right relationship, we can only get it when we put our faith in Him. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourself. So, the gift you can't give yourself. Number three, the third lesson, was a love you can experience. And the author reminded us in that lesson that we had right before Christmas, that even at our worst, God loves us. When we were yet sinners, not when we improved our act, not when we turned over the new leaf, not when we tried to make ourselves better, but when we were yet sinners, God loved us and gave Christ to die for us. And through that love, He reconciled us to Him. I mean, it was Him acting. Wasn't us doing anything except receiving the gift that He purchased for us on Calvary. It was Him acting. And we talked about that week that He declared us righteous. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ, when we accepted Him, He declared us righteous. He justified us. He made us just as if we've never sinned. And that justification, again, came not by anything that we did, but putting our faith in Jesus Christ. And then last week, we talked about an identity you must embrace. We talked about the practical effect that salvation should have on our lives. We talked about how it should show up in our lives. Grace does not give us a license to sin. Paul asked a rhetorical question. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Should I keep sinning so that God can bestow more grace upon me? And he answered the question, God forbid. No, 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 no. Grace does not give us a license to sin. Grace sets us free from sin. It transforms us and changes death to life. We get a new life in Christ. We're no longer under the domination of sin. Sin no longer is our master. Christ is. Jesus is the one that we ought to live our life for. And so this morning, we come to lesson number 5. We have one more after this, and I'll tell you about that. If you haven't looked at it already, I'll tell you about it at the end. But the lesson this morning is a fight you can't win by yourself. Now, no longer, as we talked about last week, are we under the domination of sin. No longer is sin our master. Christ is our master. But we are not free from sin. The temptation to miss the mark, the temptation to sin, is still there. When we get saved, our sin nature that we were born with does not vacate our bodies. It will one day, praise the Lord, that sin nature will leave when we see Jesus. But until that time, we still have to deal with that sin nature. We're all born with it. And it's still operational in our bodies. And so the lesson this morning talks about that struggle that each Christian has between the old nature and the new nature. The old nature, the old man that we were born with, the new nature, the new man that we became when we accepted Christ as our Savior. In the books, if you studied the lesson, the author talked about, two big Olympic-size guys. I thought about those big guys in Japan, sumo wrestlers, okay? If you could picture what I mean, those big guys, you know, that wear little diapers and nothing else. But anyhow, so they're on each side of you. One has a hold of each wrist, and somebody blows a whistle and they start pulling. Okay, you are in a tug of war between those two guys, and of course those two guys represent good and evil. One's trying to pull you to do good. One's trying to pull you to do evil, and you're in the middle of that struggle. You're in that struggle. You've heard me say, an old Indian described it like there were two dogs in him, a big black dog and a big white dog. And the black dog was trying to get him to do bad, and the white dog was trying to get him to do right. And the point of the lesson this morning is that every Christian is in that struggle. We're in that war between good and evil. We're in that struggle between our old nature and our new nature. But we don't face that struggle by ourselves. Jesus is in that struggle with us, and he will give us the victory if we claim it in him. All right, so if you have your Bibles, we're in Romans chapter 7, starting in verse 14. We only have two passages of Scripture this morning, verses 14 through 23, and then we read the rest of chapter 7 and the first two verses of chapter 8. So look with me at Romans chapter 7, beginning in verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal and under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. Now there is no more, now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find in the law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is my members. Now, before we start talking about the Scripture, if you studied the lesson, you know that there's some people that think this seventh chapter of Romans was written to unbelievers, to people that were not saved. And there are some things that Paul says, if you don't look at them right, you could come to that understanding. Well, he's writing about people that are not saved. And the struggle that they faced, whether they're going to receive Christ or not. But if you look at it closely, and if you look at the overwhelming things that Paul talks about in these verses, you got to come to the conclusion that he's writing to Christians. And that he's talking about the struggle that exists in Christians between our new nature and our old nature. If you studied your lesson, you also know some debate. There's some debate about if in these verses Paul was talking about himself or if he was using a style of writing where he was talking about a theoretical somebody else. Okay? And again, the overwhelming evidence, the use of the word I in those verses, points to the fact that Paul is given a personal testimony. He's talking about the struggle that he faces, that he faced in his life between his old nature and his new nature, between that desire to do good and that desire to do bad. And I will just tell you, I'll just remind you, Paul was a pretty good Christian. I mean, if you ranked all the Christians that you knew, the Apostle Paul would have to be right up there near the top of the list. God used him in a mighty way. He wrote over half the New Testament. He was a preacher. He was a teacher. He worked miracles. He started churches. And so if the Apostle Paul, again, who was a pretty good Christian, had this struggle, then I would say that it's probably true that every single Christian has this struggle. Now, we might say, now just a minute, preacher, I am never tempted to steal. Now, it's getting tax time, so you got to be careful when you say, I'm never tempted to steal. I'm just kidding you, by the way. and we might say, I'm never tempted to kill. Now, there's some people that, you know, like that guy that was going 80 miles an hour that passed me this morning, I had some harmful wishes that he would end up in the ditch, but I didn't want him to get killed. You know, we're probably not tempted to commit adultery. We might say, hey, I'm never tempted to commit the big sins. But I would remind you this morning, when it comes to sin, there ain't no big and little sins with God. Sin is just sin. If we break the law, we miss the mark. And the Bible says if we break the law in one point, we're guilty of all. And so I would remind you this morning as we start the lesson that a bad attitude or a hateful spirit or prejudiced or an unkind attitude are all sins in God's sight. They're all missing the mark. Jesus never had a bad attitude. He never had a hateful spirit. He never was prejudiced against anybody. He never had an unkind attitude. And again, we compare ourselves to him. We see that we all have a ways to go. We see that we all have this struggle with sin. And so Paul, in these verses, is giving his personal testimony. He says, let me tell you what I'm going through. He says, you're probably going through the same thing. He says in verse 14, for we know that the law is spiritual. Now that word know is the same word that we talked about last week. It's to know and understand. It's to perceive. And the fact that he uses the word we, again, he's writing to Christians in Rome. He says, you believe that the law is spiritual just like I do. You perceive, you know and understand that the law is spiritual. And again, this law that he's talking about here, as opposed to the use of the word law later in this passage of Scripture, here he's talking about the law of Moses. Here he's talking about the Ten Commandments. Here he's talking about the things that God gave to Moses on Mount Sinai. And the two commandments that Jesus gave us in the New Testament that says that he said summarizes all the law of Moses. The greatest law, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Okay? And the second is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. If we could keep those two things, Jesus said, we can keep all 10 of the commandments. Because if you love the Lord with all you got, you're not going to have any other gods before him. You're not going to take his name in vain. You're not going to have any idols. and you're going to remember the Sabbath. And if we love our neighbor as ourselves, we're going to keep the last six. You know, honor your father and mother, don't kill, don't steal, don't commit adultery, don't lie, don't covet. Okay? And so that's the law that Paul is talking. He says, it's spiritual. It's spiritual. Now, some people, even Christians, think about the law in a negative way. They compare it to grace. And they say, hey, I'd rather have grace. The unmerited favor of God. The law is, you know, is bad. Okay? Some people even think that Paul thought of the law in a negative way. And I'll tell you this morning, Paul did not. He had the same respect for the law that Jesus did. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, I didn't come to put away the law. I came to uplift it. I'm not quoting that verse right. I came to fulfill it. Right. I came to fulfill the law. Now, Paul was against people using the law wrong. When people said you got to keep the law to get right with God, Paul was against that. And when they misunderstood its true purpose, again, Paul was against that. Purpose wasn't so that we could keep it to get right with God. The purpose was so that it would show us sin. And so what Paul meant when he says, and in verse 14, for we know that the law is spiritual, what he's saying is the law is the word from God. It's a divine gift that God gave to mankind so that we could see that we are sinners and that we fall short of what God wants us to be. And then he goes on in that verse when he says, but I am carnal, sold under sin. He said, now here's where the struggle comes in. The law is spiritual. It comes from God. It's a word from God. It's a gift from God. But I'm carnal. That comes from a Greek word, sarkinos, S-A-R-K-I-O-S. And what that Greek word means is having the nature of flesh, our human nature, that which is under the control of base or animal appetites, as opposed to that which is under the control of the Spirit of God. So when Paul says I'm carnal, what he's saying is I'm human. I'm worldly. I'm unspiritual. And again, it's our old man versus our new man. The struggle is between that which is of God and that which is of man. Now, that phrase sold under sin is troubling to a lot of Bible scholars. And it's one of the phrases in this passage of Scripture that people point to and say, well, Paul's talking about people that are not saved here. Because how can he say, as a Christian, that he's sold under sin? He said in the previous chapter that as believers, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we're no longer under sin's domination, that we're free from sin. And one way to, again, to look closely at it and understand what Paul's saying is, in chapter 6, Paul was talking about the eternal freedom that we have in Christ, the freedom that will be fully realized in the future, when we are not only free from the penalty of sin, but we are free from the power of sin. And by the way, we are free from the penalty now. And when we get done with this lesson, and I know you already know it, we're already free from the penalty, we're already free from the power of sin. Sin has no power over us. But we're not free from the presence of sin. We still live in a sinful world. We still have our sinful nature. One of these days, we're going to be free from all three. We're going to be free from the presence of sin. In the presence of God, there is no sin. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, but in chapter 6, he's talking about what's going to happen in the future when we're still sold under sin today because we still live in the presence of sin, and so that's what he's talking about. He's talking about the present. He's talking about the struggle that we have as carnal beings dealing with that sinful nature. The moment, and you know this as well as I do, the moment as Christians we let our guard down, The moment we look at something we shouldn't look at, or listen to something that we shouldn't listen to, or go someplace we shouldn't go, sin is there to attack. Comes after us. Then we don't get a pass. It comes after us. And so even though we can know we're saved, we still struggle with sin. Look at verse 15. For that which I do, I allow not. That word allow means to, it's the same word as know or understand. What Paul's saying, the things I do, I don't understand why I do them. I mean, I do not understand why I act the way I do. What I would, what I want to do, that do I not. What I hate, that, again, from verse 15, what I hate, the things I don't want to do, those are the things that I do. What Paul's saying, I know what's right, but I don't do it all the time. And I know what's wrong, but sometimes I do what I know is wrong. And so Paul's talking about this struggle. And again, if Paul had this struggle, it's probably a good thing, it's probably a good indication that all of us have it at times. We know what's right, but we don't always do it. We know what's wrong, but sometimes we do what's wrong. Verse 16, if then I do that which I would not, what I don't want to do, I consent unto the law that it is good. And what he's saying, that word consent means to agree with. What Paul is saying, if I do that which I would not, if I do the things that I know is wrong, then I have to agree that the law is good, that it is fulfilling its purpose. Because the purpose of the law was to help me know what was sin. And if I'm doing what I know is sin, then I got to say, I got to raise my hand and say, the law is good. It's doing exactly what God intended for it to do. Because it's telling me what is wrong. And it's accomplishing its purpose. Verse 17, now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now, a lot of us will read this verse and say, ha, 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 I agree with you, Paul. It's not really me that's not doing what I'm supposed to do or doing something I'm not supposed to do. It's Satan making me do it. It's that sin that is in me. Now, I would tell you, that's not what Paul's saying. He's not justifying his actions. He's not shying away from the responsibility or the accountability that he has. He's offering an explanation of why he does what he does. He says, it's my sin nature. It's that old nature that resides in me, that leads me to do the things that I hate, the things that I don't want to do, and to not do those things that I know are right. It's that sin nature that every person has. Here's what the author said. I wrote this down because I wanted to say it just like he did. I think this is good. He said, the ills of the world are not because of something out there that makes people do bad things. I'm going to talk about it in my message this morning. You know, we can pick up the newspaper and we can see all sorts of evil things going on in the world. I mean, people still shooting each other for no reason, people doing horrific things for no reason. And the author says that the trouble and the things that are going on in the world is not because of something out there that makes people do bad things. The problem is in here. The problem is inside of people. The problem is the sin problem. And until that sin problem is addressed, the world ain't going to get any better. Again, I know I shouldn't use the word ain't, but we're not going to be able to pass gun laws. We're not going to improve mental health. I mean, none of those things are going to keep people from shooting each other. The only thing that's going to stop that is when we begin to deal with the sin problem that people have. And by the way, the only way that we can deal with the sin problem is to introduce them to Jesus Christ. We aren't going to reform our way to goodness. We aren't going to reform our way to a better world. The only way we're going to get a better world is when we as Christians are the light of the world like we're supposed to be and introduce people, men and women and boys and girls, to Jesus Christ. Verse 18, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." Again, some people might read it and say, well, Paul's talking about sinners here. He's not talking about Christians. That word good comes from the Greek word athros. It's a positive quality opposed to a bad quality. And what Paul is saying in that verse, that in my flesh, my fallen human nature, there is no good thing. Now, he's not saying that there's not some good in people. I mean, there is some good in people. There is inherent good in mankind. People are capable of doing good things. I mean, even sinners are capable of doing good things. Even people that don't know Christ are capable of doing good things. And there are some people that are capable of doing very great good things. But what Paul is saying is, we could do a whole lot more good if we were filled with the Spirit of God. And we as Christians know even the good that we do, we could do more if we chose to operate within our new nature as opposed to our old nature. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. What Paul is saying, I want to do good, but I can't carry it out. Because of that old nature. Again, he wasn't shirking his responsibilities. He was reminded, I got to struggle. I know what is right to do and I don't do it. I know what's wrong to do and I do it anyway. And he said, I know I'm saved, but it's this old nature that I have to fight with. And I'm going to get ahead of myself if I say what I want to say, so I'm not going to say it yet. Verse 19. For the good that I would do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Similar thoughts to verse 17, but with an addition. He added two words. Look at verse 17. Look at verse 15. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Now look at verse 19. Notice the two words that he's added, good and evil. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. He's saying the same thing that he said in verse 15, but he's added the words good and the words evil to describe the struggle that goes on to him. Verse 20. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Again, he's stating what he did in verse 17. The sin that dwelleth in him, the old nature, is the source of this evil that I do. So he says in verse 21, I find then a law. Again, this is not like a law of Moses. This is like a life lesson. This is like a principle. This is like a truth that Paul has discovered. He says, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. My old nature. I want to do good, but my old nature strips me of my desire to do good. Verse 22, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Here's what Paul's saying. The law of God is doing good. Okay, again, it's not the law of Moses, but it's the principle of knowing what's right as the Holy Spirit guides us. And the inward man is that part of Paul that knows what's right. It's that new nature. And he says, my delight comes when I listen to that new nature and I do the will of God. I do what God wants me to do. Verse 23, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. So in verse 22, he says, I have the law of God. Okay? After the inward man. That operates in me. But there's another or a different principle that operates in my members. A principle that's against the law of God. And again, the members, talking about his body, everything that he's made up of. Not only his body, but his mind, his emotions. That different law is warring against the law of my mind. The law of God. And again, that word warring means to struggle with intensity. So, the law of sin is the different law in his members. So, I have the law of God. I have the law of sin. And they are warring against one another. The law of sin is that law that rebels against God. That does nothing that God wants us to do. That does everything that God doesn't want us to do. The law of God is righteousness. Again, as embodied by Jesus Christ. And so, he says in verse 23, that the law in my members, which is warring against the law of my mind, is it seems to be winning. It's bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is my members. And then he says in the next verse, O wretched man that I am. So get the background, get the picture of what he's saying. He's been talking about what's going on. He's been talking about this struggle that exists within him. And left to his own devices. That's why the lesson is entitled this morning, A War You Can't Win By Yourself, or A Fight You Can't Win By Yourself. If you try to fight this struggle between your old nature and your new nature by yourself, there's no way you're going to win. And that's what Paul's saying. Left to myself, with no help from anybody else, I'm going to continue to be subject to the sin nature. I do not have the ability to do what's right, even though I know it's right. There's a war going on inside of me between the law of God and the law of sin. And because I can't always win, I'm miserable. He says, so, O wretched man that I am. The word wretched conveys his anguish, but it's not a word that conveys hopelessness. Because in the next phrase, in verse 24, he asks the question, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Who shall deliver me, my members, my body, from this sin? From this sin that I don't want to do. From this sin that I don't want to commit. And in verse 25, he answers the question, I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The one who helps me win is Jesus. I don't have to fight this fight by myself. I don't have to face this struggle by myself. I can claim victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, that doesn't mean the struggle's over. The struggle is never going to go away until we die or we are raptured and we go to be with Christ and we get a new body, and that new body has no sin nature. It's gone. It's dead. The old man will finally be buried. I wish we could do it now, but we can't do it. We got to live with it. And all of us have that struggle. But what Paul is saying is, I can get the strength from Christ that I can have victory in this struggle. He says, the Lord Jesus Christ. He says there, Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is the master. He is the ultimate and final authority. In the last part of verse 25, he sort of sums up what he's been talking about. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. He says, I got a new mind when I got saved. I know what's right. I can serve God in that new mind. But in my flesh, where that old nature still rules, there's the struggle. I serve the law of sin. In chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That word condemnation means a negative judgment resulting in punishment for offenses committed. Paul is saying that in Christ, we face no condemnation. We have been justified. We have, in God's sight, we have been made just as if we've never sinned. We do not face condemnation. Because of that, he says, we don't have to walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit that empowers us in that struggle. I told you about the old Indian at the beginning of the lesson. He said, that's like two dogs in me that fight all the time. The black dog trying to get me to do bad and the white dog trying to get me to do good. And somebody asks him, well, which one wins? And the old Indian says, the one I say sic 'em to. If we go back to the illustration of the two big guys pulling you in the tug of war, which one wins? The one you pull with. Huh? I mean, we get to decide. Which dog do we say sic 'em to? Which big guy do we pull with? And what Paul is saying is, because I am in Christ and have the Holy Spirit, I can decide if I want to say sic 'em to the white dog. To pull with the good guy, not with the bad guy. It's our choice. If we claim the power of the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. I don't have to say sic 'em to the black dog. I don't have to pull with the guy that's trying to pull me in the wrong direction. I can. I mean, I can make that decision if I want to, but I don't have to. I'm not their slave, because I have the Holy Spirit that hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, that's where the lesson ends this week. Next week, our lesson is about the Holy Spirit. It's a good way to end the series of lessons. You know, we start talking about sin, and we start talking about the gift that we've been given because God loves us and that we are in Him and that we have this, we still have this struggle going on, but we're not captive to sin anymore. We have a Christian doesn't sin because Satan makes him. A Christian sins because they want to. Now, that may be offensive even to me. You mean I sin because I want to? That's the truth. I sin because I want to. Satan doesn't make me sin. He has no power over me. I sin because I choose to sin. I choose to say sic 'em to the black dog. I choose to pull with the guy that's pulling me in the direction of evil. That's why Christians sin, because we choose to. We're not forced to. But we can't say, Satan made me do that. No, he didn't. He has no power over you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The Holy Spirit is greater, a greater power than Satan is. And next week, our whole lesson is about the Holy Spirit and what he helps us do. And again, it's a good way to end this series of lessons. All right, thank you for being here this morning. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the encouragement that it gives us. Thank you for the understanding that it gives us of what we face in this life. We look forward to that day when we'll meet you, and the presence of sin will be removed. But Father, until that day, help us to live in the power of the Holy Spirit and to claim the victory that he offers to every single one of us. Dismiss us now. Help us go into the next service. Father, be with those that are still coming. Give them safety as they come. Help us to uplift Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Thank you for being here this morning.